Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me here in studio is Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we get to talk to our good friend, Rusty Leonard. Rusty is the founder and CEO of Stewardship Partners. And every month we have Rusty come in and talk with us about the economy. And today we're going to get his perspective on what's going on out there.
Well, Rusty is an expert, Dave, and we always enjoy having him. In fact, I consider Rusty just a real blessing to have him as a guest and as a regular commentator on the economy. He just does a fantastic job.
Well, before we get to Rusty, we want to share some ways that you might be able to earn more interest on the money that you already have in your checking account.
Dave, most big banks right now are only paying about 1% to 2% interest on any accounts, any passive checking accounts or money market accounts. But it's actually possible to earn 5 or 6% on your checking accounts at a community bank or a credit union that are offering what are called reward accounts. Now, there are a few things to know about reward accounts. To qualify, you'll probably have to sign up for direct deposit into that account and choose to receive your monthly statements electronically. Ann and I do that, and we make direct deposits into our money market account, and we receive electronic statements. Now, most reward accounts come with a debit card, and they require you to make 10 to 12 signature purchases a month to keep the account active. And if you fail to meet any of those requirements in a given month, your interest rate could drop to 0.1%. So they punish you pretty hard if you don't meet the requirements. And they limit the amount that you could put in these accounts. I think most of them are limited to $25,000, although you can find a few that will allow you to put $70,000 into those accounts. A few banks are offering online reward checking, so shop around for the best deal. And before you put your money in any of those accounts or banks or community credit unions, I recommend you go to bankrate.com. They have a program called the Safe and Sound Rating, and you can check out the strength of that bank before you make a deposit. So for a list of banks that are offering the rewards checking accounts, we prepared that for you. Just go to crown.org and click on Money Life, and there you'll find a list of some of the banks that you may want to consider.
Well, again, that's at crown.org, and just click on Money Life. Well, in just a moment, we'll be joined by our guest, Rusty Leonard. And by the way, if you have to step away from today's broadcast, you can always hear it online at crown.org. Or better yet, if you've not signed up for our free podcast, you can also sign up for that podcast at crown.org. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Has the economy pressured you to rethink your career? Does your heart long to take the next step and pursue God's true calling for your life? Whether you're planning for your first job or your last, the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries can help. With Career Direct, you'll analyze four critical areas: your personality, skills, interests, and values. You'll learn more about the real you and develop a plan to grow personally and professionally. You'll learn to see your strengths. And the Career Direct Complete Guidance System is designed from a biblical perspective to help you maximize your career by maximizing your God-given gifts and abilities. Career Direct can be completed in about an hour online. For more, go to CareerDirectOnline.org and try the free Personality ID Profile. That's CareerDirectOnline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council. Rusty's a frequent guest and one of the experts who helps us understand what's happening in the market. Rusty, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you. Pleasure, as always, to be with you, Chuck.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. You join us every month to give a commentary on the economy. It's amazing, since we started watching the economy, how much has changed. And I couldn't believe the headline that Newsweek is declaring that the recession is officially over. Do you agree, Rusty?
Well, I guess I have to say I agree, because I think it was last summer I said that the recession, I felt the recession was already over at that point. So I was well ahead of Newsweek.
So they're late in figuring this out, huh?
They are, yeah, they're a little late. I don't know where the National Business Economic Research Group will, which determines when the recession starts and stops, will ultimately put the end of the recession. But the economy started growing about last summer. It started moving in the right direction last summer. Now, it obviously didn't get off to a fast start, but it was still moving in the right direction.
Well, Rusty, the Dow is now hovering around 11,000. That just is amazing to me, considering it was just a year ago that we were looking at 6,600. What's your take on the market now? Is it going to just continue headed upward?
Well, it's been on a real slow grind higher here lately. And it would seem after such a lengthy, it's been like 6 weeks in a row that the market's been up, and that's kind of unusual. We've had one situation in the post-war period where I think the market went up for 13 straight weeks, so I guess there's still some possibility that the market continues to move higher. But it's getting kind of old in the, long in the tooth, so we could easily see the market take a little bit of a break here before too long. But I really don't expect it to have any kind of big correction. The economic data that's coming through is positive enough, and the earnings data for the corporations is so strong that it would be, unless there's some new piece of information that comes in, some new development such as a war breaking out in the Middle East or something along those lines, there really is no reason to push the market down a whole lot.
Well, that's somewhat contrary to the emails and the questions that I receive when folks are very concerned that stocks are now overpriced and they want to know if it's time to sort of take their earnings and take their profits and run to get out of the market because they think a big correction is coming. You don't agree with that, do you, Rusty?
Well, not in the very short term. Obviously, I think probably what your listeners are worried about is the debt and the deficits that our nation is running, and those are certainly big, big problems that could cause, serious concerns for our economy. But it won't happen, next week or next month that those concerns are realized, most likely. It'll be some time before that. My guess is we'll get well past the election before the markets start to really focus on that and maybe start reflecting some of those fears in stock prices. So I think you have a period of time here where the economy will be continuing to get better, and that will remain the focus. And the fact that corporate earnings will continue to rise will be the focus of the stock market and the bond market. And things should be relatively placid, all of the things being equal. But, of course, as we know, a lot of things can happen that disrupt the stock market at any given time, things that we can't anticipate right now, but still will happen.
And when you refer to the election, Rusty, are you talking about the midterm election in November or the presidential election in 2012?
The midterm election. I think that the market will probably not be too worked up. There's still a chance that there's, be some upset over the debt situation between now and November. But I think it's more likely that it'll be after that, because I think you'll see at the election that there'll be quite a few, the focus of the election will be on that debt situation. And as a result of that, we will see more likely a lot of talk about the debt and deficit and how we're going to correct it as we run into the election. And then post-election, I think you'll probably see some actions being taken that will at least help move the trajectory of the problem in a better direction than it is right now, which is pretty bad.
Well, Rusty, the last time you were on the air, you mentioned that you felt like we would start to see positive job growth pretty soon, that this recovery would start to hit Main Street. And, of course, we haven't seen that yet. There still continues to be negative information in the job in terms of jobs. Anything hopeful on the horizon as far as the job market and recovery in that sector?
Well, actually, I think there was a very good report this last time. We had the first positive job number, at least an initial report. The most recent report was positive 100-some thousand, 150-some thousand or something like that. So we have added quite a few jobs. And that number actually was a little bit less than what people were expecting, in that they thought the census workers would have – there would have been more census workers hired. And implicit in that number, as it turns out, that probably next month you're going to see a higher number. So I wouldn't be surprised if next month is a positive 200 or 300,000 workers being added to the payrolls. Now, what you're also seeing at the same time we're adding workers, we're not seeing the unemployment rate fall that much because the pool of applicants for jobs is growing as the economy recovers. And so we really do need very large job growth numbers in order to get that unemployment rate down.
And, Rusty, I don't see large numbers of jobs being added because today we're a consumer-driven economy. And is consumer spending improving at all, or is it remaining flat?
It's actually improving. In fact, it's hit new highs. The economy overall is almost back to its previous high in nominal terms, and that means not adjusted for inflation. And the retail sales have already hit a brand new high. They've surpassed what the retail sales level was in 2008, before the crash occurred. So we've actually already hit new highs. Now, part of that is due to more people in the country and some inflation being, cooked into that mix as well. I don't think the average person is probably spending more than they spent before. But the economy overall is in a growth mode. It is creating jobs. And we are seeing, I see them personally. I don't know where you live, Chuck, but where I live, I see help wanted signs in a variety of commercial enterprises, So it's definitely something that's changed here. And it's not just here in the United States. It's happening worldwide. It's a global recovery.
Well, how are these jobs going to be created, Rusty? What sectors do you think are going to be growing? Let's say apart from government, which we all know is growing far too fast in our opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are the jobs going to come from?
I think it's going to be very broad-based, but I would think that the financial services industry, which took such a beating, will be one of the areas where you may see additional job growth, a little bit above average job growth, because as they've gotten their balance sheets back together, they're seeing growth in the overall economy. The demand for loans is growing. The demand for financial services is growing. So I think you'll no doubt see a little bit above average job growth in the financial services area, but basically it's going to be pretty broad-based. You'll see it across the board because we've seen productivity at companies jump very, very high, and this is a super positive factor for the overall economy, but it can only go on so long. Basically, companies are working their employees to the bone is what it amounts to, and at some point they have to add the staff, and we're at that point. So I think you're going to see a pretty good little pop in the employment picture here in the months to come.
Well, Rusty, we have to take a break, and we'll continue this conversation when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You're always looking for ways to save money, right? That's why you clip coupons every week or spend hours looking for deals online. But are you getting the full benefit for your effort? The Couponizer is a way to organize, store, and access all your coupon finds and gift cards with a 22-pocket wire-bound booklet. Once you set it up, you'll be ready to go shopping anytime your busy schedule allows, and it's small enough for you to put it in your handbag and take it with you. The Couponizer system includes the Couponizer, the booklet Your Guide to Smart Savings by Amy Bergen, a pre-sorting mat that matches the categories in the Couponizer, a list pad for tracking your savings and spending, and more, all in a durable carrying bag. You can find out more about how the Couponizer works at crown.org, or you can call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org for the Couponizer.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. With me today is Rusty Leonard, providing an April update on the economy. Rusty, one of the questions I have is that the rising federal deficit is looking so ominous that they're going to have to figure out some way to ultimately pay it back. And it looks to me like that's going to come through taxes to offset this massive deficit. What do you think the outlook is for tax increases in the short term?
Very high. You're almost guaranteed. I mean, it's almost inevitable. We could have a surprising result in the November elections, and that would lead to politicians suddenly being motivated to cut costs rather than raise taxes. But even then, I think the size of the problem is so great that if they cut just about anything they could possibly cut, we would still need to raise some additional revenue to get things back in balance. So I think it's truly inevitable that people are going to be facing higher taxes of one form or another as we go forward.
Well, won't that shut down the recovery, Rusty? Because if consumers are taxed more, then they have less to spend, which means our consumer economy isn't going to keep growing. Won't that be counterproductive?
Yes. By itself, that will be counterproductive. And a great example of that is Japan, when Japan was going through a great crisis or the aftermath of a great crisis similar to what we were doing in the 90s, they went and raised their taxes, and it did send them back into another bit of a recessionary period. So you have to be very, very careful about that, and let's hope that our government officials find the right balance of raising taxes enough but not too much. The other thing that's important to note here is that if they didn't raise taxes and they didn't try to address this great imbalance that we have of too much spending and not enough revenue, then you would have problems for the economy. We'd go into a double-dip recession again because people would be so fearful that interest rates would rise through the roof and crash the economy again just because they hadn't taken care of this other big problem. So they need to raise taxes somewhat to help deal with the deficit problem. But if they don't calibrate that properly, they could send us back into a recession. So, yes, it's very critical that that gets done correctly.
Well, do you think our elected officials are getting the message that they need to curtail this deficit spending? Are we being heard, Rusty?
No. I don't think, obviously we're being heard somewhat, but not enough. But I have a feeling that by the time we get around to the elections, that message will be super loud and clear. If you do the analysis of the electorate, the independent voter is the one that's key to winning an election. And that independent voter, according to all the surveys, suggests that what they're most interested in is getting this debt and deficit taken care of. And if, as the consultants to the politicians who are trying to help them win the election get in their ear and say, this is what you have to focus on, I have a feeling that you're going to see both Democratic and Republican politicians in the run-up to the election on November 2nd talking almost exclusively about how they're going to deal with the debt and the deficit. So I think by the time the election is done, there will be quite a bit of incentive for positive things to happen to at least start the process of addressing this huge problem, which will take many years to really work our way out of.
Well, I certainly believe, like you, that people are going to be heard in this election, and I think it's crucial that our listeners make their opinion known, that they expect our government to live within their means. Speaking of governments not living within their means, previously we talked about the problem in Greece. They're drowning in debt in that nation, and it looks like the European Union has come up with a solution. They're going to loan them some more money. How are they going to solve the problem with more debt? It seems like that's not going to work either. The EU is looking to bail out Greece by using more deficit. I don't understand that, Rusty. Will that work?
Well, it will work because they're giving them that money at attractive rates, and they're also putting – it comes with requirements, right? So when you get yourself into as deep a hole as Greece has gotten itself into, you don't get the bailout unless you also come to the table with some cost-cutting. And so Greece is having to take some pretty painful cost-cutting, even leading to a little bit of violence in the streets from time to time because people are upset that they're going to be losing their benefits or whatever. So it's not a free ride that Greece is getting. They did have to show up with cost-cutting that's about 4% of their overall GDP. So it's a pretty significant cut to their expenditures, but they actually spend so much that that's just a small portion of it. They need to go and cut even more in the years to come. And so it'll be interesting to see if this does work out, but it certainly does buy them the time to make the right choices. And that's essentially what the European Union was trying to do, buy Greece enough time to give them the chance to make the right choices and get things straightened out.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes, Rusty. I want to ask you about China. Many predicted that China was going to go through a massive economic correction. Do you see that happening?
There's some possibility of that. There's no question that that's a risk because China has been growing just at hyper-rapid rates for a couple of decades now. And whenever you have a situation of kind of uninterrupted growth, you tend to stop realizing, like businessmen and other investors, they stop realizing that they can lose money. They think the only way, it's a one-way ticket, higher and more wealth being created. And so they start taking riskier and riskier bets. And you're seeing some degree of that going on in China right now, where particularly the real estate market, you're seeing a little bit of excess being built up in that real estate market over there. And, of course, real estate is always a leveraged market, so that when that blows up, it usually hurts the most because of the debt involved. And you've seen loans just grow like crazy as the Chinese government did all they could to forestall the impact of the global crash, the economic crash. And they did a pretty good job of forestalling the crash, but now they're going to have to pay the piper for some of the actions they took. So there is a risk that if they don't manage that well and they don't kind of slow the economy down easily, you could have big problems there.
Well, Rusty, is there anything else you want to share with us in terms of our outlook on the economy for April?
On the China note, I would just mention that one of the important things that might be happening in the months ahead is that the Chinese currency may be revalued higher, and that's a very positive thing for the global economy. One of the great imbalances in the global economy is that the Chinese currency is too cheap, and therefore they export too much, and they don't import enough. And so it ends up taking jobs out of our country and causing us to buy a whole lot of cheap stuff we don't need and ending up with a trade deficit. So if that change does occur, it will be a positive development for the global economy and for the financial markets.
Well, Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council, thanks for joining us on Money Life.
Thank you. It's always great to be with you.
Thank you so much, Rusty. You are listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Prior. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, every time I hear Rusty, I just have the sense that at some point he's going to break. He's not going to be that positive about the economy, but he is just consummately a positive guy when it comes to our economy.
He's not only positive, he's realistic, and he's very much driven by data and by the facts. He doesn't get caught up in the emotion, and that's where I find myself trapped. So often, Dave, I sort of feel or sense what I think is going to happen, and I'm wrong, and the data proves me wrong, and I just love Rusty for his ability not only to be positive, but to be realistic and to stay focused on the facts. And if you look at his history in giving us a monthly update, he has been extremely accurate.
Yeah, he really has. You know, one of the things that's come out of the recession, even though our friend Rusty is very positive about it being over, some things that have carried on since the recession started is a desire that people have to get out of debt.
Well, Dave, they not only have a desire to get out of debt personally, but they have a desire to see our country get out of debt, which Rusty and I were discussing, because it's very important that we live by biblical principles, whether it's individually or as a nation. And the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. And there's a form of financial slavery that we accept in our country that people are beginning to see is terrible, that we shouldn't accept slavery as the norm. And Larry wrote a book years ago called Debt-Free Living, and we are now reintroducing that book. We've updated it, and it's being re-released. It was one of his bestsellers, and it truly reflects today's realities because the biblical truth in that book is timeless. It's full of helpful information, practical tips, and very encouraging stories of ordinary people who actually got out of debt. And if you'd like to see what we're talking about, a free sample of the first chapter is offered today. Just go to crown.org and you can order a copy of the updated and re-released version of Debt-Free Living by our late co-founder, Larry Burkett.
Well, to do that, just go to crown.org or you can call us at 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976.
I also want to remind you that we are listener-supported, and if you're listening to this program, I need your help this month. I need you to make a generous gift this April to help us to overcome a very slow winter and spring. As Rusty said, if the recovery is in place, then we can have optimism about the future, and hopefully generosity will begin to increase. We've been through a very tough period, and we need your help now to recover. For a special gift this month, I want to send you a resource set called Work and Business in God's Economy, as well as a book from the Money Life Basics series.
If you'd like to receive this month's special resource set, just go to crown.org and click the Give to Crown tab at the top of the page. Then once you're on the main giving page, just click that orange banner at the top. If you prefer, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.